Welcome back to Left of Normal, where everything that isn't right is left, and everything that is left is right. I'm your host, Scott Seary. Before we get started, as usual, I want to thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate your support. And if you would be so kind as to help make my world a little bit saner, please click the like and share buttons and send this episode to someone you know that may find enjoyment, encouragement, education, or just a little bit of entertainment from it. Last week we had Amy on as our guest. Amy is making great strides in the NeuroSpicy community. Through her community called Advancing with Amy, Mental Health Warrior and NeuroSpicy Mama. With a daughter on the spectrum, she's passionate about ending the mental health stigma and helping girls with autism get the support they need instead of being pushed aside and ignored. After you're done listening to this episode, scroll back and listen to that one if you haven't checked it out already. So this week we're going to keep with a slightly similar theme and talk about parenting on the spectrum. Not parenting a left of normal child, but parenting as a left of normal. Kids on the spectrum present their own unique challenges, but if you throw in a left of normal parent or two, then there get to be a few more challenges that a lot of people don't realize. Combine that with the fact that nearly everything out there talks about kids with autism, but not parents with autism, means there's relatively few resources available to learn from. So even while prepping for this cast, I was searching for studies and information about parents who are on the spectrum, and I just kept running into information about parenting kids who are on the spectrum. So it's fairly fitting that we should shed a little more light on this subject. Like all good episodes, and I highly rank the episodes which I have put out. They're absolutely fantastic. Some of the best content on the internet this day and age, really. I do have a couple of stories of myself as a child, and then a young adult or teen, and now as a parent, and even pre-parenthood. So now that I am a parent, I have some stories on how I'm possibly the best parent there is or ever was. So from the time I was a young boy, and I realized that when you're older, you end up getting assigned a certain number of children that you have absolutely no control over, you just get them. When I understood that, I realized that old people, because when you're young, everyone's an old person, I actually was a little bit worried. I knew that kids were weird and they were hard to understand, and they would be even weirder and harder to manage and control them when I became an adult. So I wondered that as an adult, when I woke up and I magically had children in my house, they just appear there, would I actually be able to care for them? Would I actually even make a good parent? Now, fortunately, as I grew older, I realized that children don't just appear in the house. They don't just happen to show up. You indeed actually order them from a catalog. Back then, anyways. Now it's all online anymore. So you do have more or less full control over how many, or if any, children appear in your house. And then as I got older, kids actually got easier to deal with. Younger children are relatively easy. It's the teenagers that are difficult. So while I was growing up, I had two older brothers, and I had one younger brother. I still do have two older brothers and one younger brother, but while the age difference has remained the same, the proportionate age difference has actually changed. For those who don't understand it, if that doesn't make any sense, consider this. When I was 7 years old, my brother was 14. He was 200% older than I was, or double my age. And now that I'm 41 years old and he's 48 years old, he's only 17% older than I am. And if my math is correct, 17 is a much smaller number than 200. So anyway, when I was about, I don't know, 10-ish, 10 years old or so, I would listen to my older brother argue with our parents about typical teenage stuff. And I remember telling Tim, my next older brother, he's about a year and a half older than I am, that I would never argue with parents, because it doesn't get you anywhere and you end up just looking stupid. So fast forward to when I was a teenager and I argued with my dad a lot. Well, maybe not a lot, but often enough that I very much could not say that I never argued with him. And that was because he was a bit out of touch. Not necessarily dumb. He's very smart. He has a master's degree in something. But like any parent, the age difference is enough that they're just not with it. And even now, myself as a parent and my son, parenting my son, times have changed so much since the time I was his age, I'm a bit out of touch. Actually, I rather prefer it that way because all this new slang and lingo is hard to keep up with. So by the time I became an adult, which I consider actually more of like 21 to 24 years old, not at age 18 because 18 is really just basically a child. You can vote and go to war and legally sign documents, but that doesn't mean you should do those things. Anyway, I found out that kids are actually really neat. Most of them. Some are terrible. But little kids are quite fun. They cry occasionally, and they're incredibly irrational, but they're really easy to control and to manipulate. And plus, if they're like in a bad mood or they're sad or something, it's super easy to cheer them up. You just pretend to fall over and they laugh, and suddenly the world is a great place again. So now, as a parent, I still think other people's kids are neat. However, most kids I can see are absolute monsters and maniacs. Especially when you live with them and you actually have to, like, care for them and feed them and stuff. But other people's kids, they're fine. Because when they turn into those monsters and maniacs, you just hand them back. Anyway, I now understand why my dad would come home from a business trip and he'd pull over off the highway a mere 15 miles from home and take a nap. His reasoning was he was just too tired to drive safely. But really, I understand now, it had nothing to do with being too tired from driving. It had everything to do with dreading coming home to a house with four boys and a frazzled wife who would hand over the reins because she just spent the last week managing kids and needs a break. He was just delaying the inevitable. That kind of leads us to what struggles are present as a left of normal parent. There certainly are all the same struggles any parent has, left, normie, or right, but there are other roadblocks that the left of normal mind kind of just throws into that parenting gig. Now, to keep this from being all doom and gloom, I do have a handful of strengths that come along with being a parent on the spectrum. Number one struggle is dealing with social skills. Most people on the spectrum don't really understand them, so we just kind of avoid social interactions as much as possible. But this is kind of a roundabout way of dealing with social skills, this struggle that comes up. So my son is quite a bit more extroverted than I am. That means he's excited to be with other people and always looking for someone to chat with. And to be fair, I was a little more extroverted as a child as well, in the sense that I was always looking for friends to play with. Anyway, it also means that I'm a bit more excited about never actually talking to another human for the rest of my life, and he has to tag along with me as I do non-people-y things. And really, he just wants to go do people-y things. And ultimately, my network, or really even my desire to talk to other parents, is smaller as a result of this. And that means he doesn't get as much opportunity to flex his extrovertedness and do the things he really wants to do. And that's just, you know, interact with people. It is, however, getting better as he gets older. He does take a little bit more initiative to conversate with peers and their parents. But, you know, personally, I find most other parents to be kind of aggravating. They seem just disingenuous, or it almost seems like they brag about things that they really shouldn't brag about. Anyway, that's a topic for another time. I'll go on a big, long rant about the bragging of parents. Should have some good stories there. Anyway, something that can cause issues as a left of normal parent parenting a child. My child happens to be left of normal, but I suspect that it comes up wherever your child falls. It's the desire for routine and kind of the way we manage our lives. As a left of normal, I have certain routines. I have things that I do that I have to do. Some of them are just quite simple. I don't like have to do them, but I do them because that's just what I got into the routine of doing. Just, you know, sitting in a certain position, drinking out of the same coffee mug every single day, things like that. When you throw a small human into the mix of life, suddenly those routines might not be possible, because now I have to feed this little creature, take it for a walk and water it daily or something like that. I don't know. I had read some stuff on parenting and said don't spray him with the hose, but sometimes I do. Well, this interruption of routine can upset days or sometimes weeks and cause them to be more or less useless and just kind of lose out on whole blocks of life. I have explained my routine stuff in previous episodes. I don't remember exactly which ones, so you'll have to listen back through all 144 prior episodes to get filled in on that. But we're not going into that right now, because this routine stuff can actually be twisted into a strength. I'll get to that as soon as I wrap up the roadblocks. One of the biggest problems facing parents of all Nero-ness, that's Nero spicy or neurotypical, neurosity maybe, that's a good word, neurosity, it's dealing with mental health, especially mental health in America, because the American healthcare system really likes to ignore it and pretend it doesn't actually exist. It's designed to help take care of all the other issues that you can see, whether with a body scan or with your eyeballs, but it's actually pretty hard to see mental health issues. There are ways to scan the brains and look for patterns and all that, but most of the time they're just ignored and hopefully they'll go away. Mental health issues never really goes away and tends to lead to bigger problems. So then America does what any good country would do, and we just lock those people up in jail and call them social deviants. For a parent that also has mental health issues, big problems can arise as we're focused on making sure our offspring are cared for and protected and not running out into the streets. And often that happens at our own detriment. I don't really have a sound way of relating this back to being left of normal, because autism isn't actually a mental health disorder. But sometimes our own mental health can be put on the back burner, and especially those that are left of normal can tend to have a little bit more higher needs for their mental health. Anyway, let's move on. What can cause a lot of frustration, and I've talked about this a few episodes ago in the Rage Fest episode, is that many left of normals thrive on predictability. If you text me and say, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Want to go do whatever you happen to suggest last minute like that? I will respond saying, I have plans. Now, sometimes those plans are to be at home and not have anything planned for the day, but I want the predictability of knowing what to expect. Children can be unpredictable. I have my day all mapped out, and then I get a call from the school that says my child started a small fire in the bathroom, and I need to come procure him from the school because he's no longer allowed on school district 2 property. That tends to throw off the predictable nature of the rest of my day. There are some perks to being a left of normal parent. Those systems and routines that so easily get thrown off because of something weird that the child does, or really just something normal like getting sick and they have to stay home, those routines and systems can actually help the children. And they're much easier to put into place when you're left of normal. So since my son was a wee baby, he has always had very good systems throughout the day. Nap times and bedtimes have always been the same. Obviously, he stays up a little bit later as he got older and stopped napping very early and took away that midday break from me. But during those periods, while he was littler, we had very set, specific routines for nap times and bedtimes. And to this day, that has led him to being a great sleeper. I don't have to deal with a shrieking child tearing through the house at 11:30 at night, being entirely inconsolable and ruining everyone's life. Of course, if this routine does get off, and then everyone's lives are ruined anyway, but that's why God invented beer. Another perk to being on the spectrum as a parent is the desire to research and learn things. From the time we found out that we would be having a child, I looked up and read a lot of things about children. I read books on how to parent, how to discipline, and how to stealthily manipulate your child into complying. It's not as bad as it sounds. And then there are countless articles online, tips, tricks, pointers, and experiments, and I have found that one piece of advice is far better than anything else that I've read out there, and that's the idea that you're an absolutely terrible parent. And really, it just comes down to experience. The latest research says there's around 2 billion mothers in the world, and that implies that there are likely about the same number of fathers. If you're a parent, your experience represents one half of one billionth of all the parents out there. For the math nerds, that means it represents 5 times 10 to the power of negative 8%, or 0.0000005% of all parents. In other words, statistically, you're irrelevant. Finally, one of the strengths parenting on the spectrum allows me is relatability. Because my child is also on the spectrum, there are times when he doesn't understand something, and I can explain it because I too don't understand it. But I've stepped back and I've had a little bit more experience, a little more life experience, and I can explain what I've figured it out to be. For example, he often complains about eye contact. I hate it. It's weird. It's awkward. And I also know that normies crave it. They, like, feed off of it. It, like, inspires them or, I don't know, gives them weird voodoo energy. So I tell him, don't just, like, try to stare at their eyes and just get ultimately weirded out. Just glance up every couple sentences so they know you're still paying attention. And that way you can maintain your thought process better by not trying to stare deep into somebody else's soul. Another time he's come to me and he wondered, you know, what do I say when somebody gives me a compliment? I'm just kind of confused. How do I respond? And I said, yep, me too. Just say thanks. If you can think of something funny to go along with it, say that too, but generally, thanks is enough. Something I've largely converted a lot of my responses into. I get confused with somebody says, have a nice day. Do I say, you too, thank you, I'll make it a nice day. It's really not that nice of a day because I stubbed my toe this morning. Or they say something like, enjoy your trip or enjoy your meal. And then those things, you say, you too, well, they're not enjoying a meal. Now it's super awkward for everyone. So I've just switched over just saying thank you. And I leave it at that. For now, you've had a peek into the world, where everything left is right. And if it feels right, then it must be left. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, please like, comment, subscribe, join the Facebook community, and feel free to ask any questions you have over there. Turn the anonymous button on if you don't want your name broadcast to the world. Remember that parenting is hard for everyone. So if you can do anything to lift a small bit of the burden off your fellow parents, make the world a better place and do so. And of course, share this podcast with your friends, whether they are left, normies, or right.